Blog Talk Radio.
God is a spirit, and they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. For it's in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And if you don't move by the power, by the anointing of God, by the presence of his majestic power, you might as well not move at all. Because the songwriter said that in times like these, we need a savior. Do you hear me today? Here on the blogtalkradio.com network, here on the Manner of Speaking, in times like these, we need a savior. But be very, very sure that your anchor holds and grips the solid rock, and that solid rock is Jesus. And we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they are saved. And because they're saved, they are safe from all of the elements of this world. That's right. The only shelter of security that you and I have in this present day setting of things is under the blood of Jesus. And all the songwriters said that all the blood of Jesus, it washes white as snow. No other power that we know that atones, that cleanses, that heals, that strengthens, that fortifies, that edifies, that covers, that gives the authority other than the name of Jesus. And it's at his name, the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus the anointed, Jesus the all-powerful, the almighty, that every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that he is Lord, he is Lord, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, the Almighty Creator of the universe, Yahweh, Jehovah. All must bow to his name. And Jesus said that I and my Father, are you listening on today, are one. When you've seen me, you have seen the Father, and that no man cometh unto the Father except by me. And it's good to know. It's just good to know that we have a present day Savior who's alive and well. He keeps us. He watches over us. He commands the angels to protect us as we sleep, as we slumber, as we go about our day, as we enter into the evening, even toward the night. It is he that commands us to be kept. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing that it is. And we're here on this glorious, it is, and victorious day in the Lord. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you know what day it is. It is another day that the Lord has made, that we should rejoice and be glad in it. Are you glad today? Are you thanking God for his unction, his anointing, and his presence on today? On this Sunday, January 28, 2024, you tune into the Manner of Speaking, where we speak the word with the authority given unto us by the power of God through the Holy Spirit. That's right. And Jesus even said, and I want you to go for your scriptural reading of strength and of edification and of justification. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. He says, I am the true vine. This is John, the 15th chapter, the Gospel of John, which was the gospel intended for Jews as well as Gentiles. Jesus spake unto his disciples, giving them base level instruction. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. The husbandman is the one who decides what branches are bringing forth fruit and what branches are withered away and of non-necessity. He decides it. Second verse says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That means he removes it. He prunes it. He cuts it off. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. When you purge a branch, you're not killing the whole branch. You're not depleting or cutting off the whole branch. You're looking at that branch to see, are there any minuscule properties on that branch? Because remember, Jesus said unto us this, it's the little foxes that destroy the vines. So if there are any vines that are diseased or degraded or disassociated with the flourishing of that branch, the Heavenly Father cuts it off. He purges it, that it might bring forth more fruit. And Jesus said in the third verse, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. For the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. That means that we can't move and operate under the anointing except the power of the Holy Spirit through God the Father, through the permission of Jesus Christ, allows us to do it. And this is the reason why we have so many false prophets. Are you listening today? This is the reason why we have so many strange movements in our sociological setting. This is the reason why we have all of these disassociative type personalities and these false prophecies and these false teachers and leaders. They're not operating in the Holy Spirit. They're operating in the flesh. They're operating through what they've been taught in their seminaries. They're operating through what they feel in their emotions. They're not operating through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the holy teacher. He leads us and guides us into all manner of truth. Truth about our lives, truth about those around us, truth about society, truth about what's going on in the lives of believers. It educates us and empowers and instructs us on what to do, when to do, and how to do. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit today? Are we following behind those with the popularity vote, those with the excellent level of showmanship? Are we looking unto those for their personalities, for their fiscal integrity, for their sociological connections? Are we running behind those people? We should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness through Jesus Christ, not through mankind, not through womankind, because mankind will fail you. Look at the headlines. Look at all these things that are coming out about various leaders that so many have walked behind, adored, and literally worshiped. The Lord our God is a jealous God. We are to only worship God in spirit and in truth, and acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord, as the bishop of our souls. We are to look unto him, not to humanity, but to him. And this is where the fall off point is. This is where we're seeing so many going by the wayside, seeking other gods. There is no other God but our God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke everything living into existence. He even spoke the vegetation, the plant life, the oceanic life into existence. This is who we worship. This is who we adore. And God is showing you these people that you put on a pedestal. Oh, it's prayer time. It's time to get the body in order. That's the reason why God gives us a word. He gives us the word as a platform, as a foundation piece for us to build our hopes eternal upon. Amen? Oh, yes, it's pruning time. He's showing us the real from the fake. He's showing us the truth from deception. And some people can't take it. If you are serving God to please mankind or to get glory of yourself or to make yourself have a pious image, you are doing your works in vain. Because God is not being glorified through these elements. We must build our hopes upon Jesus Christ, upon God the Father, who created us one and all, who knows all of his spiritual children. He knows who his beloved children are. And Jesus even knows who his beloved brethren are. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. Whose voice are you following today? The voice of mankind that tells you to do this and to do that, to be blessed, that you have to give them a certain amount of money before you can receive your breakthrough. Let me tell you something. I'm a testimony of God's presence. I'm a testimony. What you see is what you get. Because I'm real about my profession of faith. My faith in God and his power invested within me. And it's perpetuating on a level and a frequency that I cannot even describe to you. This is what's keeping me going. Nothing else. Because you look at the world, it's a very dismal place. That's why you may say, oh, I love the things. Don't love the world. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of the world. But we have to come back to reality and know that beyond what we see, there's another level of existence. And we must balance the harmonies and walk according to the word of God. And God wants to whip us in shape. You know something about, you think about the branch being pruned. Look at us during the seasonal periods in which, you know, in the wintertime, we have a tendency to eat a little more because we're more focused in staying comfortable as opposed to being exposed to the external elements of the weather and things of that measure. So we're less active. We're more inclined to stay in and enjoy what's inside of our dwelling place. But when spring gets close in proximity, somehow we begin to look at that physical mirror and we say, now, wait a minute here. There are some external things that are going on. I need to get back in shape. Why? Because we want those spring outfits that reveal our physiques to look attractive and appeasing. And so we want to seclude what we haven't done during the winter period of the seasons. And what happens? We start cutting back on our eating habits. We start getting more exercise, being more focused, being more aware of our physical appearance because first natural, then spiritual. God wants us in healthy, well taken care of bodies, as well as a well-adopted spiritual body. That's right. Three components. We are physical, we have a spirit, and we have a soul. Three persons within the anatomy. We want to connect back and get that external person right. And this is what God is doing. He's showing us so that we can walk in the truth and the light, that we can be a miraculous blessing to those around us, to those who may heard of us, but don't personally know us. We've got work to do. You talk about a long path of work to do. We're on assignment. We are on assignment. Don't ever forsake your assignment. This word is for someone out in listening land. I don't know whether you're in continental U.S. of A., whether you're in Canada, whether you're in South America, whether you're in Europe, whether you're in Asia, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in Antarctica, I don't know where you are, but know this, that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty there. And God has announced that this is the miracle fulfillment season. This year of 2024 has been a year of revelation in motion. That's right. And first thing I speak and say revelation in motion, people start getting scared. They're thinking bad things can. No, God says we've been in the seclusive area too long. We've been blinded by these false representations. It's time for us to peel those blinders off our eyes and see things as they are and who people are. That's right. And we're to stop this man-made, cosmopolitan, cosmetic face of worship God is tired of it. He wants to do so many things, miraculous things, breakthroughs, healings, deliverances. But we got to move the junk out the way. Amen? Oh, this is a rather hard word of knowledge, but sometimes we need that shake-up and that shakedown. And guess who that shake-up and shakedown impacts first? It impacts us as biblical instructors, as teachers. It impacts us first. As evangelists, it impacts us first. As pastors, it goes to pastors. That's right. It goes to bishops. And bishops are literally the advisors of pastors. It even goes to through the apostles. Yes, God has summoned apostleship in this day and time, but it's on his level, not on man-made level. A man cannot take you and make you an apostle. God has to select you. Because who he calls, he qualifies. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? Are you going to do it God's way or take the highway? The highway will lead you to no place, man, and at no available time. So it's time to take the truth, love it, and prosper from it, or else take the short way out, and you will see all of the wickedness of this society. But God is great and greatly to be praised, and he's doing the miraculous. I'm going to continue to be on the reciprocating end, and I'm praying that you accept this truth and that you, too, be on the reciprocating end. Amen? Amen. So we thank God for those of you who have been praying for us, and we're praying for you that God will restore you everything that was taken from you from the time intervals, whether it was days, weeks, months, maybe even years of things that were taken or was detracted from you, that God, in his ever-loving mercy, restore you back 100-fold. We're speaking 100-fold in the name of Jesus. That's right, because it's through him. He said he is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. That's right. It doesn't get any stronger than that. And listen, before we go into the instruction of the word today, oh, beloved and precious pilgrims, I received a message through my personal email. And here it was, that this individual was really, really upset about hearing about the various professing Christians who are going about in society causing an image that is not reflective of good measure, of good moral activity. And literally they were asking me to talk a little bit about some of these individuals. I don't want to call these individuals because we've been reading the headlines. We already know whom it is that they are, name by name. And we're not talking about those who are associating themselves fully with the world, because in the world, you know, people are going to replicate and duplicate an image that is not reflective of Christianity, that is not reflective of walking in the authority of the Holy Spirit. We expect that because the new translation of existence has not taken place for them. But to those who profess to be of the circumcision, we do anticipate and expect far more from them. And this is just what I wanted to say. I said I would say a couple of words. I wouldn't go into full detail. That would be a totally different broadcast. And we're not going to do that right now because we're trying to get various individuals who have fallen by the wayside, who may not even be conscientious that they've fallen by the wayside, back into the fold again. First of all, I say this. Don't put your confidence in man. Man and woman will fail you because a man born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And the Spirit of God does not always strive with man, for that he's also flesh. So this flesh can be a mess. If you don't take it, as Apostle Paul said, I take my body and bring my body under subjection. That means subject, submissive, obedient to God. He says, if I don't do that, control my appetites, control my desires, and my carnal persuasions, if I don't do those things, he said, when I speak unto others or when I present myself to others, I myself will be a castaway. So that lets you know how people can get caught up in the fleshly trap, male and female, because we are human. We have the human nature. And we have to take and monitor as well as manipulate our appetites and desires, because it can take us down a dark path blindly. And we don't even know we strayed off until publications and various media circulars begin to publicize our behavior. Then we're conscientious of it. And to those who don't even believe in the truth, they have something to use against us and point their fingers at us and say, aha, told you those people were fake. No, we're all subject. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is the reason why God does not just give us salvation and take us to heaven. No, we've got an assignment. We got work to do. Work to do within ourselves, work to do within our families, work to do within our communities. We got work to do within the spiritual reputation of things. We have a lot of work to do. And the first person to benefit from the labor is the laborer himself, knowing the identification in which God has placed him or placed her. That's right, in the area of what we refer to as ministry. See, ministry is the way that God utilizes us and that we interpret our relationship and our calling or our assignment within ourselves, and it replicates to humanity. That's ministry. And listen, I've learned over the years since 1979 when I received the very essence of my translation as a Christian. Let me tell you something. This is a growth process. You don't get this overnight. You don't get this in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years. It is a evolutionary process. Say with me, evolutionary. That means you're constantly evolving, evolving. You go from faith to faith. You go from grace to grace. It's perpetuating. It's continual. The momentum keeps going. And, you know, this is the reason why we have to remain focused, our eyes on the Word, upon Jesus Christ as our Savior, as upon Father God being our Creator. We have to stay focused. We can't get distracted, because distraction can lead you down the wrong path. Yes, it can. And this is what has happened. We have to ask God, because there's going to be some things that will leave us once we receive the newness of this walk and the refreshing of this talk. There are going to be some things that are going to just automatically go. And some things with us, it's going to be a persistent battle. It's going to be a persistent battle. We have to be patient and depend on God. And when we fall short, we have to ask God's forgiveness and continue on. We have to do this. And I'm talking about those who are in leadership of various individuals in a congregation. I'm talking about those who deem themselves as Christian entertainers, even though scripturally God doesn't have entertainers. We're his children. We go about and we do his work. And he said, you go in the vineyard and work. He said, whatever's right, I'm going to pay you. He's going to compensate us. And he can pay us in ways mankind will never be able to duplicate or match. And this is why it's so extra essential that we remain steadfast in the Word, and the Word becomes part of us. It's more than being able to say scriptures. The Word has to be hidden in our hearts. The Holy Spirit has to bring it up to us in the times that we need to feed from those things. So putting on a floor show is not extra essential. It's not beneficial. You have to have it within you. And the only way that you get it, no man comes to the Father except what? The Father draw him. And when he draws you, it's for a reason. I know many people that listen and talk about Apostle Paul in Acts 9, that he was, first of all, Saul of Tarsus, and how God took this man and broke him down to the LCD, the least common denominator, that he rose him back up. And as a result, he made him the second chief apostle, that he would actually be able to talk about his witnessing of Jesus Christ and the power, the unquestionable power that he exuberated. It's because God took him. But there were people fearful of him that wanted to hurt him because he had did things that were hurtful to others when he was Saul of Tarsus. But oh, when God freed him and released him and put his spirit in him, he became known as Apostle Paul. That's right. And let me tell you something. The old man is gone, and the new man takes formation. And this is what he did. His work was in the area of recouping and restoring back the faith as being that witness, that much-needed witness that God placed in that area to get the believers back on track and to correct some of that corrosive behavior and idol worship, the same types of behaviors that are being persistent and coexisting now. That's what he did. But he acknowledged that his flesh was weak. So our flesh is weak. We have to ask God to strengthen us and to lead us and to guide us into all elements of his truth. Amen. Amen. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Fifth verse, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Praise God for to all his blessings flowing through us, in us, and with us. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. I know we have been persistent with going through the Bible, starting with the book of Genesis. Why did we go through Genesis? Because Genesis shows the originating origin of all things, both great and small. It shows you how mankind began to mature and saturate in various areas of society. We see everything from faithfulness, divine favor, to cunning behaviors, undermining plots and plans, actions that were neo-destructive, and to those actions, God had actually forgiven these individuals because he had a calling in thy life. All right, so we're in the 21st chapter, and we will continue on next Sunday with this same theme, the book of Genesis, the book of great and wonderful beginnings. God, add a blessing to the reading of the word, and let the power of thy blessed presence instruct us and guide us, that we may benefit, we be blessed, and we would prosper. Touch those who need healing in their bodies, in their mind, in their spirits, in their finances, in their families, in their relationships, God. Because you know, God, you told us through your word that you are the peace that passeth all understanding, and that you would rule over our minds and our hearts through Christ Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we acknowledge you, we respect you, and we adore you. In thy blessed Son, Jesus Christ's name, our Savior, our Lord, our Messiah, let us all say amen. So be it. 21st chapter of the book of Genesis, as we went through the 20th chapter last week, here we are in the 21st chapter of the book of Genesis. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did say unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. See, God had already told Abraham, just because you are elevated in years, my spirit is with you. See, the spirit of God, the presence of God in your life makes that noticeable difference. That's right. He makes the difference. He does the impossible with what seems not at all possible. That's right. God uses ordinary people like you and I to do extraordinary things for his kingdom because he abides with us and we are respecting the assignments that he has placed us in. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac, and his name means laughter, joy. I mean, this man had endured so much, And now he's in his elevated years, he and his wife, and now he's experiencing parenthood. We're seeing a lot of that happening around the world. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. That's why circumcision was considered an act of cleanliness, that you were, as a male child, being respected and giving back unto God what he had given you. That's right. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh at me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? I mean, who, if Sarah could have had a child at this age, who would have believed that? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Eight verse. And the child grew and was weaned. That means he stopped drinking the milk and he began to eat solid food. He began to mature in years. And Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. Ninth verse. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. You know, Ishmael was Hagar's son. Many believe that Ishmael was the Middle Eastern son. And then Sarah saw her, and Sarah became infuriated, and she told her husband, get rid of this woman, remove her and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. She said, because he won't even be considered as part of our family with our son, Isaac. And that thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And I mean, Abraham wasn't happy about what she said, but he knew deep down inside that that was true. But he knew the assignment in which he had been placed, and he didn't want to disrespect the very essence of Hagar because she was his mother's child. Because remember, Sarah, when she was Sarai then, didn't think she could have children. So the closest thing to home was to allow the, you know, the maidservant to have a child in honor. Here's the 12th verse. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman and all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay, so God is assuring Abraham, don't take it too hard, because there's a calling, there's an assignment that's designated for Isaac, and only Isaac can fulfill that. There's no competition. See, God doesn't give us competition. He masters completion with us, and he's letting him know that Isaac has been identified. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. He's God saying, I'm even going to be merciful to Ishmael because he is the son of Hagar, and he's yet your seed, Abraham. And the 14th verse, Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread with a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder and the child, and sent her away, and she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. That means he gave her allotment. And he told her to go about her way, but he did not leave her without provision because he knew that God was going to provide a place, a habitation for her and Ishmael. And the water was spit in the bottle, and she cast the child under one of the shrubs. And she went and sat her down over against a good way off, and it was a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. So therefore Hagar felt like she had been abandoned, that she had been literally rejected from the very camp of the man she had a child with. And so she felt like once the water was gone and the food was gone, there was nothing left, that she would just allow her child to diminish, and she would witness this, and she was heartbroken. She was abandoned. She was a single parent. But she didn't know that the hand of God was mastering the very essence of her footsteps. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven.
and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard thy voice of the lad where he is. That means God has heard your child's cries. He knows what it is that you need. He has not forgotten you. He has an assignment. He has a blessing with Ishmael's name on it. 18th verse. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. Oh, praise God's name. He designated him to be a great nation. Not a great person, but a nation. See, nations are built through genealogies. That's right, through families, through callings, through assignments. That's how nations are built. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Look at God. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. That means she drew forth water to give her son to drink because he was thirsty. And so was she. And God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. That's right. That's a bowman. That's right. A man that has the mastery of using the bow and arrow. God anointed and appointed him. See, we all have assignments. We have to walk in our assignments. Stop stepping on other people to get to their assignment and walk in the assignment of what God has for you. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother, and he took a wife out of the land of Egypt. 22nd verse, and it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of the host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. See, these men even had to acknowledge, God is with you. God has appointed you. When you obey God and you walk in your assignment and you leave all your cares, your worries, your frustrations behind and trust in the Lord and do good and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging him, he will direct your path. He will direct you to a blessing. He will direct you to your deliverance. You don't have to scratch and scrape and look for signs and wonders. Signs and wonders follow you. Amen. Divine favor follows us. Signs and wonders follow us. Doors open, and those doors will follow us. That's right. God will remove those locks, those hedges. That's right. Those barriers. That's right. Those hindrances and present open opportunities only meant for us. Now, therefore, swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to thy kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. He's just saying, Abraham, make a promise to me that you won't betray me, that you won't go back on your word, that you will not ever make a deceiving statement to me. He's just asking for a surety. He respects him because, you know, God is with this man. See, when God is with you, he's working in you, and he's standing up for you. People may not like you, but they have to respect you because they know that if they speak against you, God's hand will smite them. If they try to work against you behind your back, God will reveal them and cause them to condescend right before your eyes because he said, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Don't play with him because you will lose in that competition. There is no competition with him. And Abraham said, I will swear. 25th verse. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. I mean, they forcefully claimed what was not theirs. And he wasn't pleased about it. It said, and Abimelech said, I wot not who thou hast done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. He said, I didn't know this happened. I'm just hearing about this now. Maybe he would have prevented it. Maybe it was in the will of God for him not to know, but him to speak this unto Abimelech. Because remember, Abimelech is still in authority here. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. See, in that day and time, you had to make a pact, a visible pact. And people oftentimes use livestock as a credible way of proving their statement, of making that compact and signing that contract for a certain action to take place or for a certain thing to occur. And Abraham said, seven ewes, that means young lambs, of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? He said, why did you take these lambs and set them aside? What is the purpose of this? He was trying to find out from Abraham. And he said, for these seven ewe lambs, these are young lambs, shalt thou, and you know ewes are females. We understand that rams are males and ewes, E-W-E-S, are females. Okay? Shalt thou take of my hand that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. So he's saying, I'm using this as proof that I have dug this well, that I have established this well. And this well is W-E-L-L. Well, you know, this is the elementation of provision that brings forth water from underground. So he's proving this. Wherefore he called that place Beersheba, because there was swear both of them. So this means covenant, okay? Covenant between he and Abimelech. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba that Abimelech rose up and find call the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. That means they went back to where whence they came. Everything went well. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines in their land many days. That means he dwelt there peacefully and peaceably. You know, God says, if your ways please him, he'll cause your enemies, those who don't like you, to be at peace with you. That's right, because we serve and love and adore a great, majestic, and almighty God who's omnipotent, means all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, and omnipresent at every place at every given time. So we thank God for those of you who tune in today. And I want you to be encouraged because the best is yet to come. And when it comes, give God the glory. Be one who turns back and praises God and gives God the glory for his miraculous breakthrough. And let us share our blessings, our miracles with others so that we can replicate, we can duplicate and see his power being ever-present and moving within us. That's right. Because Jesus even said in the Lord's Prayer, that's right, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And it's God's will that we be in excellent health, that we prosper in all things, even as our souls do prosper. Listen, have a glorious and victorious week, and we'll tune back in on next Sunday here with the Man of Speaking. You've got your host here, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, the Esquire. But the divine teacher is in control through the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us into all levels of truth. And we are thankful for this great truth. The truth comes to enlighten your path and bring forth the best days in your life. We thank God for you. Be blessed this week and share those testimonies and let us continue on in this path. That's right, because we know that we can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth us. Have a blessed, glorious, victorious, and miracle-filled week.